y'all, this is She Buys It with Whitney Nicely.
Hello, welcome to the She Buys It podcast. I am so excited to introduce Elizabeth to y'all. She is coming to us from Texas, and we've been chit-chatting just a little bit before the show. She is a real estate investor by marriage and by inheritance. So all that stuff that we're talking about, generational wealth, she's the product. And I love Proverbs 31:16, which says that she goes to inspect a field and she buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. And y'all, Elizabeth owns a vineyard, like an actual growing grapes vineyard. And I can't wait to talk about it. She's an attorney, and she's going to talk to us about the legal aspects of what we got going on and building businesses. And this is going to be amazing. I'm super excited. Elizabeth, is there anything that I missed that you want to add?
Oh, I bet we'll get to it, Whitney. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So I am completely obsessed with the first deal, and your first deal is very interesting. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on and how all of this came about. I want the story.
Well, so, you know, I kind of married into the vineyard part of it. I am actually an attorney. That's my kind of day job, but I also really enjoy being involved in the winery and the vineyard part as well. And so my husband and his family, they've been growing some type of crop for at least about 100 years. So it's really interesting to hear the story. The land where the vineyard is has been owned in the family for 100 years. So it's got a great legacy, great heritage. It's really neat to hear the stories about his great-grandfather, Burke and Burnett, grandfather and great-grandfather, and how they farmed the land. And so back in 2002, the first vines were planted, and now it's up to about 55 acres. And so it's really a lot of fun, and I enjoy wine, so that helps.
So great-grandfather and grandfather in 1920? Decided
yes.
to buy the land, or they got it in a duel, or tell me the story.
I think it was about 1919. It's been just over 100 years that it's been in the family, and it has grown all kinds of crops, including cotton is really big here in the Lubbock, Texas area. I've heard stories where they've grown peanuts, alfalfa. They once grew cucumbers for McDonald's, they tell me. So they've never been afraid to try new crops.
Wait a second, what does McDonald's use a cucumber for?
I guess the salads.
Okay, that was something I was not planning on the McDonald's menu.
Yes, I know.
Okay, but they grew cucumbers for McDonald's. All right, cool. And so did they have any other jobs, or they were full-time farmers?
They have had, here and there, they've all been entrepreneurs, so that's been kind of fun. My husband's grandfather had a store called the Cowboy Store, and his grandmother also had several businesses that she owned as well, and she's still with us. We love her. We actually named a wine after her. Her name is Jo Beth. And so just a heritage of entrepreneurs, and it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Jo Beth is a great Southern name.
So Southern, yes.
Okay, cool. So they were farming the land, and how did the family decide in 2002 that now is the time to start planting some grapes?
Well, so believe it or not, this area in Texas is the best place in Texas to grow wine grapes. And people were about to start figuring that out in the early 2000s. There had already been some that had started planting back in the 1970s. And so by about that time, people were starting to realize how good grapes grow here. And another vineyard owner came to the land and said, this would be a perfect place for a vineyard. And so Chase and his dad decided to order some vines, and they put in their first 5 acres at that point.
That's awesome. And it's got to be, even as entrepreneurs, when you start to think, okay, I'm going to plant something in the ground and take care of it for decades before I even maybe get the end product.
That's yeah, so
it, like, were y'all married then?
No, we did not know each other until 2009. So the first time, oh, my hair is growing crazy. The first time I met him in 2009, he was already growing grapes, which I thought was so cool. And at the time, I was not much of a wine connoisseur. I loved some sweet Moscato. And we like to joke about how my tastes have gotten much more expensive since then. But I've really enjoyed learning about it. And so it's been really neat. He was already majoring in horticulture and agriculture at Texas Tech. And so he has learned a lot there, but also just on the job learning, he's kind of become an expert in growing grapes.
Man, on the job learning. Let's talk about that. Because the women that listen to the She Buys It podcast are definitely learning how to be real estate investors on the job.
Right.
You know, a lot of us are moms, and that's kind of a on-the-job learning kind of thing. And a lot of women, in fact, a lady today in FTDF Plus, which is my group coaching, she said, you know, I'm not a good negotiator. And I was like, yes, you are. You're a mom. You've got people in their 20s that you've raised. You didn't get that far without being a good negotiator.
Right. Absolutely.
And, you know, she told me, she was like, I got to get this first deal done so that I can understand it. I'm an on-the-job kind of learner. So I get it. And that's how I do everything. And I'm like everybody else. I've got a fear of failure, but my threshold is really small.
Right.
And I'm figuring we're just failing forward every day, all day long. We'll do it wrong to figure out how to do it right. I don't care. Tell me.
You learn a lot more
on the job. You do. Yes. You can read about it all day long, but until it hits you or your pocket, it don't matter.
Right. Yes, I completely 100% agree with that. It's amazing. Even in the law, every day it seems like I encounter something new that I haven't ever encountered before. And I think, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to figure this one out.
And you do. You have to figure it out.
Yes.
You've got to Google it. You've got to YouTube it. You've got to ask somebody else that's already been there and done that. There are lots of ways that you can figure it out. Now, I don't want to be a YouTube attorney, and I don't want to be a YouTube real estate investor, but tell me some things that you got going on in the law field that's an on-the-job kind of learning experience.
Sure. Well, I mentioned that I do a little bit of real estate law. I do have some clients that like to invest in real estate, and so I will help them set up their partnerships or their corporations or LLCs, whatever they want to put their interest in. And we discuss what's important to them, how they're going to make decisions in their business. And it's really a neat learning experience for me to see other business people and how they run their business and how they make those decisions.
Man, if I could be a fly on that wall, because I've got 9 companies, 4 that I really run all day, every day. And if I could just figure out how other people are structuring their business and just kind of watch it, I think I'd be a better business owner.
It is interesting. Yes, it really is. You know, there's some partnerships that are very, very much passive investments for those owners. And then there are some LLCs where the owners are the managers. And so it can be a wide spectrum of different ways of handling it. So it's been neat for me to see that.
A lady told me today that she's got into this new partnership and they've formed their LLC. But one thing they didn't think about was merging their personal calendars. And it's a deal that they're buying 74 doors. It's one couple and another couple that come together to take on this big portfolio that they're buying, right? But they both plan on being gone the week of the end of July, the last week of July. You got 74 doors. Somebody needs to be around home in case something happens. And that was something that they weren't prepared for, though, right?
Right. Yeah. It's amazing the little things that we don't think about until we just experience it. And it just hits us in the smack in the middle of the forehead sometimes.
Well, luckily they figured it out before everybody was gone. And something terrible happened. Somebody needs to be at home. If you're running a vineyard or a real estate portfolio, somebody needs to be around somewhere.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we've found that to be the case. You know, it's been tough for us. The vineyard growing season is from March to September. And so we have juggled many years how to get in a vacation. And there's this little window of time right before the grapes are ready to harvest where they just kind of sit there. And so that's like our fast escape to try to get a little break.
People also don't think about that. Yeah, I want passive income. Yeah, I want generational wealth. Yeah, I want to plant this thing. But then somebody's got to tend to it.
Yeah, so vineyards are very capitally intensive, and it's also a very labor intensive investment. So it's kind of interesting because a lot of people do get into it thinking that it's very glamorous. It's, oh, I'm going to make my own wine. This is going to be fabulous. And it's so much work and so much money.
Oh my gosh, so is real estate investing, but so is running a business. Like, yes, you have to tend to it. Nobody tells you that you can just have a baby and you just leave it in the corner and go on about your life. You got to tend to it. I think as women, we kind of know you're going to have to tend to the baby, but you've got to tend to your vines. You've got to tend to your business and your partners and what they got going on, and hope and pray they don't go crazy on you. You also got to tend to these houses, y'all. Even as... you know, my deals are mostly lease options. And so my buyers are really buyers and I'm kind of the bank, but they still call and have problems and they have this and that and the other and they leave. And if you got something planned, it's not like on Instagram. I haven't found anything that's exactly like they portray on Instagram yet. I'm still trying. I'm still looking, but it takes some flipping work, y'all.
It does. It does. And there are some great things about years of work in a vineyard. Obviously, that does pay off and the vines do look good after several years of tending to them, and that helps. But then you have something crazy like a late freeze, or this year, what was really weird, we usually have freeze issues in the early spring, like April or so. This year, there was a freeze in October before the winter that caused damage. And so that was new. That was something that we had not really had to deal with as much as the spring freezes. So just a little, you know, everything about real estate, especially agriculture-wise, is impacted by weather. And so as much work as you put in, sometimes it's still rolling the dice.
My in-laws own a couple hundred acres of agricultural land in South Georgia, and they rent it to farmers because they're not farmers. Yeah. They're school teachers. Sure. They're really smart. They're great people. But they realized that the best use of their inheritance was to let somebody else run it and figure it out.
Yes. And our family does that with the cotton land. It's leased to, and that's something I could do as an attorney, is help out with that lease. And so that's always fun, doing my attorney work with family, because no matter who my client is, I will tell them what I think they should do. And then, you know, they'll tell me what they're going to do. And then, you know, that's what we do. So, but no, this is a good situation. And they lease the cotton land because it is such a different type of crop. It requires different equipment, all kinds of different schedules. And so my husband and his family have decided to focus on the vineyard.
I'm so glad they've decided what to focus on, because so many people say, oh no, I could do this and I could do this and I could do this. And, you know, I could also go flip a house and I could also do this and I could add this. And then if we turn this into that, and then I'm going to be a land developer and a farmer and like all these things, like what you focus on is where your energy goes. Energy goes where your focus flows, or
something. Either way you say it.
Anyway, you say that, it works, because you've got to find something to focus on. And I agree. Even in law, you know, I said, well, what kind of law do you do? And you had three things. This is what I do.
Yeah. And you know, perfect. I think that's, well, I work with a lot of businesses and entrepreneurs. And so to some degree, that does branch out a little bit and kind of feather out in a couple of different directions. But it comes down to business law for the most part.
And that's a great category to be in, because there's always a fresh flow of freshmen coming in wanting to start their business, wanting to rearrange their business. You know, there's all sorts of stuff coming in, but you could have easily said, well, I handle adoptions and business law and trademark law and all these other great and wonderful things. But if you have a focus, it really helps you stand out. And, you know, I think as y'all have this agricultural land, that's a great place to focus on too, because you can have your section, 55 acres where your vineyard is, and that's your thing, but you still got all these other acres that you rent out to the cotton farmers. So you're still in real estate. You're still making money. You just don't have to work it to still make
money. That's true. Yes. You know? Yes. Land continues to be such an incredible investment. I know that's what your entire podcast is about, but that's something that I hear from my clients over and over again as well.
I told my mom the other day that I need to buy more land, not more houses, not anything that needs to have a bunch of overhead with it, but just land. And I like to say that, you know, I didn't learn this in real estate school, but if you think about a pyramid, the base layer is going to be agricultural land. When Christopher Columbus came over, it was all agricultural. There was people here, but they didn't have it like zoned into different stuff. But right. It was all agricultural. They had to figure out how to feed themselves. Yes. And then we go to residential land, which is the houses. They had to figure out how to keep themselves sheltered against the weather. Then right, we go up yes. to commercial land, which is where we're running businesses and, you know, where we're making money with our investment. And then there's industrial land, which is the top of the totem pole, and it's very regulated and stuff. But it all starts with agricultural. And that's why I'm so glad that you're an agricultural real estate investor, because there's so many different ways that you can make money in agricultural land without going all the way through the other parts of the pyramid.
There really is. And it's kind of exciting in this area where we are. The vineyards have really caught on, especially the last few years. We were actually probably kind of early on into it. Yeah. There were some that were much greater pioneers than us, but relatively speaking, there's been a lot of development in the last 3 to 5 years. And so it's exciting to see just this, you know, West Texas area where on one side you see a cotton field and right next to it you see a vineyard. It's really, it's a neat juxtaposition that's fun.
I think it's awesome. And I say, you know, if the wave is coming and you are an early adopter, ride that wave, baby. Go for it. Because you're leading the charge. And I know as a business owner, sometimes you think, why do I have to do all this? Why am I learning all this? But you got to remember that the people that are just planting, you know, in the last 3 or 5 years, they're riding on your coattails. You went through a bunch of stuff so that those people could do some other things also.
Yes. And, you know, yes.
As a business owner, as an experienced attorney, you go through a lot of stuff. You learn a lot of stuff, and you got to remember that it's going to help somebody else behind you. And that's why I encourage so many women to be real estate investors. I went through a lot of crap that I shouldn't have had to gone through, but now I can help other women do that. Right?
That's so awesome.
That's how we learn.
Yes. Yeah, mentors have been so important in my life. I really have always tried to make sure that I have a good mentor. So it's needed for sure in real estate.
What kind of mentors do you have? Other attorneys or other vineyards or?
Yes, so both. I've had definitely had attorneys that are mentors and continue to have those. And then also we have some really great other families that have been in vineyards, and now we're in producing wine as well. So that's exciting because a lot of the growers in this area have done the same thing. And so, yeah, and what's really neat is that it's a very much a family-oriented business. Many families own the vineyards and the wineries. And so it's been fun to have mentors that are actually other families as well.
And you can learn from their family dynamics as much as from their growing secrets.
Yes. You know, and sometimes that just kind of gives you reassurance that, oh yeah, well, they're a family like us. They have issues too, as we all do.
Yeah. I saw your post and I know that's not what you were thinking when you took that picture.
Yeah. You know, Instagram, there's the reality versus the Instagram prettiness that we all have to see through sometimes.
Oh yeah, for sure. So tell me, do you have any books that you would recommend?
So right now,
new investors, new vineyard owners, new attorneys, or just something that you're really liking right now?
Well, so this is kind of one of those general women in business books that I think is really good. It's called The Joy of Missing Out by Tanya Dalton. And she is a business entrepreneur. She has a productivity podcast. And this book is what I'm focusing on right now, because as you could hear when I started talking about all the things that I'm involved in, it really is tough sometimes to keep life more simple. Yes, juggling all the different hats and all of that. And so that's been a good book for me to kind of stay focused, especially during the last couple of months when life has been turned upside down, and really focus on what's important, what I want to spend my free time doing, and that, you know, I want to make sure I have time for my family in addition to my businesses. So it's a really good book for business, but it's also just kind of time management and prioritizing your time.
I love that. Even the title I'm loving, because you know, there's been lots of things that have happened in the last couple months that I've enjoyed, like not traveling to events and not feeling like I was missing some golden nugget that was going to change my whole business.
Right. Yeah.
That I had to spend $5,000 to go figure out what it was.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that. And can I say that I've enjoyed not seeing pictures of everybody at the beach where I felt like, oh, now I need a beach trip.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's that, you know, it's funny. The book is called The Joy of Missing Out. We have that FOMO, that fear of missing out. And so this has kind of been a good couple of months for everyone to kind of be doing the same exact thing.
Chill.
We just refocus. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And enjoy the things that we got. I've got a girlfriend that put a pool in her backyard. She's been meaning to do that for years.
That's impressive.
But she was so busy doing all the things that why would I never at home?
Yeah, we actually planted a small garden, which we had been planning for years. And so it was a project to do with the kids while we were all at home. And so we'll have a few, you know, items of produce this summer. It'll be fun.
And oh my gosh, the kids learn so much from that. They learn a lot of responsibility. They learn a lot of great skills and how to like move their body.
They really do.
You can learn from gardening.
Yes. And just something to get out of the house because, you know, we've spent so much time indoors the last couple of months that it was good to get outside.
And who knows, it could foster somebody to want to become a chef and be.
There you go. I like that.
Own bed and breakfast, or, you know, like there's just so many things that you can't just get from being on your thumbs all the time.
I completely agree. 100%. Yes.
I love it. Okay. I'm going to be checking out The Joy of Missing Out. Thank you so much for that.
You're so welcome.
Tell me about being a woman in business. Do you own your own firm or what you got going on that side?
I do. So I had been with what was considered a pretty large firm for this area, about 20 attorneys, which is not big for the big city, but for our city, it was pretty big. And I was there for about 5 or 6 years, and I went out on my own a little over 3 years ago, and I love it. I am very driven, so it's something that I enjoy doing, but I also love setting my own schedule, being the master of my time, and being able to decide what cases I'm going to take and, you know, who I'm going to get to work with. And that's been something wonderful to develop over the past few years.
I love that.
And then of course,
I hear a lot of ladies that say, you know, I was working in corporate America and one day I said I just had to get out and do my own thing. And then I ended up in real estate investing. But I think a lot of people get to a breaking point, but they just stay because it's comfortable. So I want to applaud you on getting to a place where you said, you know what, I'm ready to grow. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to be on my own. And yes, it's scary, but I'll check y'all later. Good for
Thank
you.
You. Yes, it was scary. And it still is sometimes, you know, especially, you know, didn't know what would happen the past couple of months. Luckily, people still really need attorneys. So I've been pretty busy, but I know a lot of my clients are hurting and it's been really tough. And so it's been a challenge, but it's been a welcome challenge that I've enjoyed.
As a business owner, you know, I wake up sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning in an absolute sweat. Did I remember to do this? Did we do that? Did we do that? Are we going to be here? Do we have enough for this? And I'm just like in an absolute panic.
Yeah.
And then I wake up other mornings and it's like, thank goodness I have these problems because I could be doing that for somebody else's business.
Yes. And that is something I have had as an attorney. You do wake up in a cold sweat occasionally and think about, did we do the right thing here? Did I do what I was supposed to do there? You know, it's just, it's tough to take that on, but it's something that I cherish and appreciate those business owners being willing to work with me and trust me with their legal affairs for sure.
One of the ladies today said, you know, how am I going to take care of 5 houses? And I was like, you don't even have 1 yet. What are you worried about 5 for? And, you know, I would say you probably have the same thing. Like, you've got this steady paycheck coming in. How do you switch from, you know, to nothing and then to 5? And how am I going to handle 5 clients? And where am I going to get them from? And where am I going to, you know? So I think everybody has all these questions that we're asking ourselves. Like, if I do leave my job, what if all my tenants leave? If I do start becoming a real estate investor, if I do open my own company, and you know, some of the ladies that listen to She Buys It, they want to be interior designers and they want to start their own company on that side. And they, you know, are just buying houses to have a place to showcase their other skills and stuff. So, you know, for the women that are trying to get started, what would you tell them?
Well, I can tell you what I did and what worked well for me. And it goes back to mentors. I did connect with another attorney who was already out on, and this attorney is a male, which don't hold that against him, but he was a good mentor for me. And I really talked to him about how he did it, what was the most important part of doing it. And I really researched it and learned. And then I ended up renting office space for him from him. And what was neat about that is I'm independent. I have my own business, but I kind of have a partner in crime that I can go down the hall and say, hey, have you ever seen this? Or what have you done when this has happened? And so I do think that mentors, or at least friends in your field and your industry, are important. And so I'm sure that your listeners connect with you and with other listeners. And that's so important and so vital, especially when you're starting something new.
It's a lot like riding a bike with training wheels. Like, you're on your own, but if you need it, it's there. You can just,
right,
you know, buzzing, yes, up. And I would say that even when you get your own building, you could, it'd just be a phone call away.
Right. Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Even if it's not down the hall, you know, and
yeah,
contrary to popular belief, I love men.
I do too. But
they're great to learn from, but sometimes you do just need that woman's opinion. Well, how did you handle this particular instance that he's never come into?
Right. Absolutely. And I do definitely maintain my female mentors. And really, when it comes to listening to podcasts, that's who I listen to. And that has been, I love listening and getting inspired by podcasts like yours. So,
yeah, I mean, you've got mentors, you can pay for mentors. I mean, Michael Jordan always paid for a coach. It's
right.
Fine. But there's also like the book you gave us and that lady's podcast and
yes,
other YouTube channels. And there's ways that you can adopt mentors to where maybe they don't even know you exist.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's totally fine. And you know what's neat is that I've had a few, you know, up and coming either attorneys or people in the wine industry that have told me that they look to me. And that's so flattering when that happens. But it's also a good reminder that we all need to support each other, whether whichever direction it's going.
I completely agree. And I mentioned Proverbs 31 earlier. Where I am, everybody wants to be a Proverbs 31 woman, or the people that I hang out with, right? But one of those verses, I don't know which one it is, it's not 16, but one of those verses says that, you know, you've got to be mentoring. You've got to be mentored by the older ladies in the church, in the community, in your industry, but you also have to serve as a lady who's new, just got out of law school, just got a real estate license, wants to get into law school. Like, you've got to have it going both ways. It's a two-way street here, and it's so important. I think, you know, women used to sit around and we raise kids in a community, in a village, and now we all try to stay so separate and say, no, I don't need any help. Yes, you do. It's your nature to nurture and to love on each other and to help each other. And if you're not doing that, you're cutting off part of you being a human being. And that's why it's so important to have these conversations and other just conversations to connect with women and say, I'm glad you're living your best life. Let me tell you this shithole I went through today.
Yeah.
You know, and for like other things, you got to reach out.
Yeah, you know, and I've read studies about that, and I think we're getting better, but women do need to be a network and encouragement for each other, because men have already done that for years, and, you know, they go play golf, and they make business deals together, and we as women need to do that for each other, and it doesn't have to look the same as what men do, but I think we're getting better at it, but we still need to keep striving for that. It needs to be a point that we really work for.
I'm glad you brought up golf, because so many business deals get done on the golf course. And my mom was an entrepreneur. She was raised working in her dad's company, and she saw so many deals get done on the golf course, but she was never invited. So when I was a kid, she put me into golf lessons, and I never just took on to it. Like, I thought, it's okay, they'll go to dinner, I'll catch them at dinner. But now I really wish I was a golfer. And I really wish there was some ways that I could do this. But one of my girlfriends had a Pampered Chef party the other day, and they did it virtually. And I got to thinking, you know, women love, most of the time, I love to cook if I've got time and I can play and there's another woman there. But there's ways that women can connect that doesn't have to be on the golf course. It doesn't have to be at the bar. It can be doing some things and being kind of productive at the same time. We used to cook meals for everybody.
Absolutely.
Now I think, you know, Pepper Chef is a good way for us to kind of do that and make a little bit of money and learn a new skill, but also connect.
Yeah. And I think it's just the connection that's so important. It doesn't have to look like anything that we know, like golf. It could be a book club. It could be a mentorship group on Facebook. You know, there are so many good opportunities to connect and encourage each other. And if there's any way we can give each other a leg up, then do that. It's so important.
And a lot of times it's just recommending somebody else.
Absolutely. Yes.
And
I agree.
That helps. You don't have to know everybody. People will say, well, I need a whole real estate team. Yeah, but right now you need sellers.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on what you actually need right this second and then find something else.
Right. Everything awesome. Is so one step at a time. Yeah.
It is. And one bite at a time. How do you nail it? One bite at a time. How mm-hmm. do you build a portfolio of 100 doors? Well, you can inherit it from 100 years ago. Or, you know, you still got to figure out how to manage that and maintain it on a day by day basis.
Yeah. And, you know, there's trade-offs for everything. I think that, you know, it really is my husband's family that has owned that. And there's priceless aspects of being in business with your family. And then there are really, really, really challenging aspects of it too. And so there's something to be said for both, and there's pros and cons for each.
Yep, absolutely. I completely agree 100%. Another thing is my husband's family has like 20,000 acres or something in Alabama. And I think it's awesome that you've gotten so involved with your husband's family business, because I have stayed away with the 20-foot pole.
Well, I understand.
I think it's amazing. Everything that y'all got going on there is amazing. Even my family owns 200 or 300 acres, and it's not my monkey yet. It's not my circus yet. Please do an amazing job. You've been doing an amazing job for 100 years. I'll check you when it's my turn.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know what I really enjoy the most, and this is just for another day of discussion, but I love marketing and the wine marketing and all of that. So that's kind of been my piece of it. And so, you know, you just kind of, you cut your piece of the pie and that's your specialty. And we talked about that earlier, but really focus in on what your true gifts are.
And I think that's perfect, because if you look at any Fortune 500 company, they get lots of different departments, right? And as small business owners, a lot of times we think, I need to be everything. I need to be the secretary, the president, the shipper, the packer, the planner, the marketing. I got to do it all. But if you've got a family of 20 people, then you've probably got exactly what you need. You lack nothing. Use what I gave you, right?
Right.
And
yes.
Everybody gets their own role. And maybe they thought, great, Elizabeth will be in charge of our legal stuff. She'll do all our contracts. But you need a creative thing to do too. And maybe the marketing helps your creative side, which actually makes you a better attorney.
I completely 100% agree with you. I think that's so true. And it's really neat to see when people are given the opportunity to do something that might not be their standard expertise, that sometimes they can just blossom into this whole new side of their career.
Exactly. Exactly. I have to be really careful. When I was getting married, we didn't have a wedding planner, and I had to be really careful that I didn't start a business as a wedding planner and go to event planning. You know, but like I didn't want to like let it overwhelm me and like become my whole life and all this stuff, but it was just different. But I completely agree. Some little something could just be fun for that side, and then you focus on your main.
Yes.
I think it's awesome.
Well, good. I think so too. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Anything else that you want to add for our listeners today? Any other book recommendations or, you know, anything?
No, our vineyard and winery is called Berkeley Hill Vineyards. It was named after my husband's grandfathers, Burke and Eddie Lee. So Berkeley, we kind of put that together. It's really funny. My 5-year-old's middle name is Berkeley, named after the same grandfathers. But my other kids were just livid when they found out we were going to name the vineyard Berkeley, because they thought we were naming it after the 5-year-old. And we explained, no, we're naming it after the grandfathers, but it's a funny story. So we would love to have you in Lubbock, Texas, if you ever come by. And, you know, believe it or not, Texas can make some really great wine.
I went to Waco twice last year, and I was supposed to go back again next year, but with all the crazy, I think that's going to get delayed. But I love Texas.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And the history, also, I don't want to start anything with you, but Tennessee made Texas.
Oh, really? Tell me this story. I want to know.
during like all the wars and stuff y'all had going on down there, Tennessee is known as the volunteer state, and it was because they needed volunteers to go fight in Texas. But, you know, Daniel Boone is from Tennessee.
I love that. Okay.
Andrews, I don't remember if it was Andrew Jackson or Andrew Johnson or somebody like that, also went down. But, like, the Texas militia was a little scattered until Tennessee came in and made it a bonded unit.
That sounds about right. Well, here's my connection to Tennessee. My daughter, who just is about to graduate high school, it's really interesting. We're going to have a graduation in a parking lot, I've heard. So anyway, everything is so different this year, but because that's where we can have enough social distancing. But she is going to go to Belmont in Nashville to be a songwriter. Yes.
Is she going to get into music? Because Belmont is known for all their music majors.
Yes, that's what she wants to do. So we are supporting her 100%. We figure if this is the age you're going to go for it, go for
it.
So yeah. So I'll be visiting, hopefully.
Come on up. I'm in Knoxville, which is Nashville's little ugly brother, I guess. But I do love Knoxville. And I will say that Belmont is an amazing school. And especially if she's getting into songwriting, Dolly Parton is like my idol. And Dolly Parton will tell you that she's a songwriter.
Okay, yeah.
We know that she is a singer, but in her heart, she's a songwriter.
Well, that's where it starts. And so we're proud of her and we're encouraging her. We're excited.
I love that. That is awesome. And Nashville's a great place to get out there and write some songs and get them tried out.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Fantastic. Well, Elizabeth, it's been so nice chatting with you today. Thank you so much. Y'all, if you want, I've got a free gift for you. Go to getyourfirstdeal.com so that you can get started, so you can plant these vineyards and grow generational wealth for decades and generations and lots of kids to come and pass that land on down. Go to getyourfirstdeal.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Whitney.